welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord that you were able to join me today. Welcome, and I'm so glad you're able to spend these few minutes with me. And here it is. Here it is, Friday, December 20th. My goodness, here we are just 5 days before Christmas comes, and it's a very busy time of year. I know many folks probably are traveling, but I would just like to take this time and share some rather interesting things about Jesus. And we know that he was, as is recorded in Matthew, he literally follows the genealogical records. It's very specific and precise, and that he is the true heir to the throne of David. And of course, the Christmas story of the birth of Jesus, it's an old and familiar one. The birth of the Lord Jesus, however, was unique in history. Every one of you listening to me right now, you began your existence from your birth. Whatever your birth date was, that's when you came into the world crying, which is what we all do. And praise God, it's as God's people, we can, regardless of the circumstances of how we leave, we should be able to rejoice and laugh because our real life is starting. But think about Jesus. I mean, our existence started with our birth, or actually at our conception, of course, but our appreciation of this world happened when we were actually physically born. But Jesus lived from all eternity. Before the worlds existed, he was. He was God-man, not God indwelling a man, and not a man that was deified, but God and man, combining in one personality two natures. That's the amazing thing about the virgin birth, which many, unfortunately, in pulpits today are even denying, because it's impossible with our human minds to get our heads around something like that. But the Bible tells us very simply how it occurred. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost and born of the Virgin Mary. Even Mary wasn't certain how was this going to happen. She did not know a man. She was betrothed to Joseph. But God, totally in a supernatural way, impregnated her womb so that Jesus was free from the corrupting influence of sin. But he had the promise of seed of the woman that was the Lord spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden when they fell. And that was the first reference to Jesus. So when we look at the genealogical listing of Matthew, it's proof that the Messiah's connection with Abraham and David shows him to be the true and final successor to the throne of the Davidic kingdom. You know, before I do that, I just wanted to share this beautiful passage in Isaiah, the 9th chapter. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Talks about that child born, of course, is Jesus. That son that is given is Jesus, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Wait a minute. How can he be called the Everlasting Father? Well, he and his Father are one, right? There's only one God, three persons, specific and separate persons within that Godhead. And so But actually, perhaps a different or better translation of that is he's the father of eternity. It was through Jesus that the worlds were spoken into existence. And so he's the father of eternity, if you will. And the fact is that it's just amazing, God's wonderful order and harmony of Scripture. And that's why Matthew's listing is so impressive, because it shows the proof of Jesus' bloodline connection with Abraham as well as David, so that he will one day assume the rightful throne in Jerusalem when he comes back to rule and reign for his 1,000 years millennial reign. The late David Barron pointed out that this is an indisputable fact, that the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the last in Jewish history whose descent from the royal line can now be established by sufficiently authentic proof. At the destruction of the Second Temple, remember that? All the national genealogical records perished. And apart from mere traditions, there's nothing that Jews now on the face of the earth can appeal to prove even from which tribe, not to say which family, he springs. There's neither a tribe of Judah nor a separate Davidic family now existing, and yet the true king of Israel must prove himself to be a son of David. Perhaps I should just pause for a moment. I know they're doing things. I know the Levitical priesthood in Israel, they're you know, all in preparation for the temple that's to be built. They've got their priestly garments and all the temple vehicles, if you will, the items that are needed. And I know they're using DNA testing, so, you know, who's to say? But the fact of the matter is that was history. They destroyed everything, and the Babylonians, when they came against them. And so, nonetheless, the point I'm trying to make is that Jesus truly is the legitimate heir to the throne of David. You know, the only genealogicals preserved are those proving Jesus' descent from David, and they are preserved in the New Testament. So praise God for that. It seems quite clear that Jesus was born in his ancestral home. Now, let me turn to Micah, and there we see there is a reference to the Lord's birthplace. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting to everlasting. Praise God. So the scriptures actually give the actual birthplace where Jesus was to be born. But I'd like to share a few other things with you. Jesus was probably born, it seems fairly clear, in his ancestral home. And there was an inn that was known in the days of Jeremiah as the Inn of Chimham. Now, Chimham was the son of Barzillaiah. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but in Jeremiah 41 and 17, it says, I'm quoting, "And they departed and dwelt in the habitation of Chimham, which is by Bethlehem, to go to enter into Egypt." Now, let's go to the lifetime of David. And David had honored Chimham for his father's Barzillai's sake. And I'd like to read a reference in 2 Samuel, the 19th chapter, verse 37. Actually, I'm going to read 31 through 39. And let me just, I have to reference this. This is a point in time in which David, remember, his son Absalom rose up against him. He fled from Jerusalem, and he was restored. And at this point, people are coming back to him, the Shivobeth. And anyway, in verse 31 it says, "And Barzillaiah the Gileadite came down from Rogelim and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now Barzillaiah was a very aged man, even 80 years old, and he had provided the king of sustenance while he lay in Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. And the king said unto Barzillai, Come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. And Barzillai said unto the king, How long have I to live, that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old, and how can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king, and why should the king recompense it with me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back, that I might die in mine own city, and be buried by the grave of my father and my mother. But behold, thy servant Chimham, let him go over with my lord the king, and do to him what shall seem good unto thee. And the king answered, Chimham shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which shall seem good unto thee, and whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee. So David had honored Chimham. He appears to have bestowed on Chimham a possession at Bethlehem, which in later times became known as an inn or a khan, which was standing. And it was suggested by the late Dr. Schofield of London that David honored Chimham for his father's sake by giving him, listen to this, his ancestral home near Bethlehem, which would have been the house of Boaz and Ruth, who on his death made it an inn. To give a khan or inn to a town then was equivalent to giving a park or hospital now. That very name, Chimham, means longing. Haggai 2:7 says, And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Isaiah 26:8 says, Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have I waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name, unto the remembrance of thee. Amen. Well, as we draw near to the celebration of Christmas, I advise and recommend that you read that beautiful, familiar Christmas story found in Luke, the 2nd chapter, those first 20 verses, and be grateful, be thankful to God that the Lord was willing to come and become Emmanuel, God with us. May you be blessed during this Christmas season. I look forward to having you join me next week. But until then, this is Sister Glass saying, May God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.
Oh, behold.